That's the Labor leader, Anthony Albanese, with his budget reply speech and what amounted to an election pitch as well. Hello, I'm David Lipson. Welcome to PM's special coverage of the opposition leader's reply to the 2022 federal budget. We're bringing you a reaction to that budget reply and analysis of Labor's plan as laid out there by Anthony Albanese. First to political reporter Melissa Clark at Parliament House, who covered the federal budget for us on Tuesday night. Mel, the aged care pitch, clearly Labor's big sell. Can you give us a recap of the main points?
Yeah, look, Anthony Albanese is promising a $2.5 billion spend on aged care, pointing to areas that came up in the Aged Care Royal Commission that he's accusing the government of not acting quickly enough on. So the promises there that are central to this sell is saying that Labor would support having a registered qualified nurse on site in every aged care facility 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Another one that to ensure that every resident of an aged care facility gets a minimum of 215 minutes of care a day. He's also said that Labor will support workers' calls for better pay at the Fair Work Commission. Now, this has been something Labor has long supported, although has yet to back in the 25% pay claim that workers are making, but nonetheless promising a Labor government would fund the outcome of the Fair Work Commission's decision. And two other things, his promise that Labor would develop and implement mandatory nutrition standards for aged care homes, and also promising more accountability for aged care facilities themselves in what money they're getting and what they're spending it on.
So how do those promises compare to the government's response so far to the Aged Care Royal Commission?
Look, that's a really critical question, and it's a hard one to answer at this point because there's not a lot of detail attached to these promises from Anthony Albanese at this stage. So, for example, when it comes to the promise to have a registered nurse on site 24/7, now, he didn't specify a time frame in that budget reply speech just then. The government has committed to have a nurse on site 16 hours a day, but if we look at what the Royal Commission recommended, it initially recommended 16 hours a day by the 1st of July 2022. So the government's promise is in line with that. The Royal Commission recommends increasing that to 24 hours a day by 2024. So until we get more detail from Anthony Albanese about how quickly he is promising to implement a 24/7 nurse on site, we don't know whether that is more or less than the federal government is putting in place. Mm-hmm. Similarly, when it comes to the time of care, how quickly he wants to implement that will tell us whether it is more or less than the federal government. But when it comes to the pay rise, that is clearly more than the federal government is offering. It's merely said it'll note what and stand by what the Fair Work Commission decides. Labor going further, saying it'll fund some of that pay rise, but again, no detail of exactly how much.
What progress has the government made in turning those Royal Commission recommendations into law, and others too, not just the government?
Yeah, certainly. And this is where some of Labor's criticism will certainly bite, because the government has had time to deal with this. Yet last night, as the Senate sat for the last time this year, because the Senate goes into committee hearings now, so last night was the last chance before the federal election, whenever it's called. And through the rush of legislation to get through, included a bill which had some of these aged care reforms. So the Labor Party can rightly criticise the government of leaving some of these bills to the last minute. It's also worth noting that the Senate made an amendment to that bill late last night, which would see, if accepted by the House of Representatives, a requirement for a nurse to be on site 24/7. That was moved by the independent Senator Rex Patrick and passed by the Senate. So we'll have to see if the government is willing to accept that change in the House of Representatives, or if this is all on hold until a new parliament is formed.
Melissa Clark at Parliament House, we'll try to bring you back before the end of the program. Thank you. Now to Angela Jackson, lead economist at Impact Economics and Policy. Angela, what stood out for you from this budget reply? Obviously, aged care, the big announcement, but anything else there that caught your eye?
Oh, yeah, look, I think aged care clearly is their big announcement and an investment in the care sector more broadly. So I think when you take that together with their childcare policies that they've already announced, it's clear that they're putting the care economy at the centre of this election pitch, which will come, welcome to a lot of commentators who've been saying this is the future and this is where they need to be investing.
Does it come with a price tag, though?
Well, that's the question. So obviously, you know, he's only just sat down and we don't necessarily have the details yet about what those costs are. We do know, though, that investing in these sectors does pay for itself pretty much in terms of returns to GDP. So it's certainly the case with aged care, for example, that we have huge shortages in workers at the moment, and that means that we're not getting as much care as we need. And if we can provide more of that paid care, that means unpaid carers get freed up to work, and that's certainly something we need at the moment. So these are good policies in terms of driving economic growth, but yes, we haven't seen the details in terms of the timing of these investments or the scale of them at this point.
Higher wages too, as expected, at the heart of Labor's pitch. If Labor is successful at the election, and if they're successful at driving wages higher, as they promise, what would that mean for the economy and the budget too?
Well, so this is an interesting thing. So you want wages growth to be what we'd say is healthy. So you obviously don't want it to be too high, but you also don't want it to be too low. And it's definitely the case that, you know, the Reserve Bank governor has been talking about this extensively in the lead into the pandemic, and even today he's waiting to see wages go up before he even lifts interest rates, is we do need higher wages growth in the Australian economy, and the economy simply hasn't been producing those wages that you need to underpin sustainable economic growth. The basic economics of it is if people's pay packets aren't going up, then they don't have the confidence to spend, and you don't have that natural momentum in the economy. So certainly we need to see much, you know, higher wages growth than we've seen. Exactly how we get that, of course, is a really difficult question. Now, this, you know, aged care workers is one part of the economy, but it's only one part, and we need to see wages growing across the board.
As you say, we don't have the details on costs, and we probably won't until late in the election campaign. But it appears that Labor is promising more on, well, a whole range of areas. It seems that their pitch will come with a bigger price tag, more government debt. Is that a problem?
Well, it's a difficult one. We've obviously got a lot of government debt. We've had a huge increase in debt over the last 3 years. And the government's budget on Tuesday, you know, again, was more and more spending. So it really depends, I guess, whether they are going to reprioritise some of that spending. There's certainly a lot there to reprioritise, and whether they're going to outline some savings in the election campaign. I guess we have to wait and see. But in terms of order of magnitude, the type of investments we're talking about here really comparatively aren't that much greater than what the government's doing. If you look at it holistically, the government spent around $40 billion on Tuesday night, and I don't think we're going to be seeing, you know, anything significantly above that from Labor, but let's wait and see.
Angela Jackson, lead economist at Impact Economics and Policy, great to have your insights. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Thanks.
This is PM's Budget Reply Special. I'm David Lipson. Let's now get the response from the aged care sector. The opposition leader, Anthony Albanese, outlining an aged care package. Sean Rooney is the chief executive of Leading Age Service Australia, the National Association for Age Service Providers. Sean, what do you make of Labor's pitch here?
Well, David, look, we welcome the Labor Party's desire to work with us to improve quality in aged care and to fix the system, really prioritising the things that we know will make the biggest difference, and that's getting workforce right, getting funding right, and getting the accountability in the system right. So in particular, the commitment to fully fund a pay rise for aged care workers, workers that we know the Royal Commission said that they were overworked, undervalued and underpaid. I mean, this is a significant step, and I think a great point and a great commitment from the ALP, which will be a real fillip for everybody working in aged care, because they've done such an amazing job in really challenging circumstances with limited resources throughout the pandemic. And I think this is being acknowledged and certainly something that is welcomed.
It's a little unclear as to where the government stands on some of these policies, because they have backed in many of the recommendation from the Aged Care Royal Commission. But from what you heard tonight from Anthony Albanese, does Labor go further? Does it get closer to what's needed for this sector?
Well, I think, you know, what we need to focus on really to improve quality, which is exactly what the sector wants to do, is focus on workforce. So that's ensuring we have more workers, better trained, better skilled and better paid. Now, the government has put in some commitments to deal with that, but what Labor has put forward, particularly the commitment to fully fund a wage increase alongside the increase in carers and registered nurses. You know, these are things that will make a difference to quality. The issue around how we fund that, so the commitment from the ALP around funding the workforce, but also funding the ongoing viability of the sector, still needs to be resolved. And the third point around accountability, which the Leader of the Opposition spoke to, is exactly where we need to be heading around ensuring that we shift our system from a focus on compliance to a focus on excellence. So we're measuring the outcomes that the services are delivering for older Australians so we can be assured that they are getting a meaningful difference being made in their lives through the services delivered, and that the country can be assured that we're getting value for money as a nation for the investment into aged care.
Sean Rooney, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for that instant analysis. He's the Chief Executive of Leading Age Service Australia, the National Association for Age Service Providers. The Finance Minister, Simon Birmingham, is on the line now. Thanks for joining me, Senator. On the face of it, a pretty substantial aged care package from Labor. Is there anything there that the government doesn't support?
Well, good evening, David. What we heard tonight were sweeping promises, but not a single word on what they'll cost or who will pay. Anthony Albanese has confirmed that Labor has no plan for Australia's economy, no plan to keep it strong, no plan to create jobs, and not a word in terms of how they would manage the budget, manage taxes, or indeed pay for these promises. Our government over the last two budgets has outlined $19.2 billion in additional investment into aged care, not just residential aged care, but also home care to provide choice to senior Australians as well as quality of care.
So Labor would be backing that money as well. This is on top of that. I'll ask you again, you've pointed out it may not be costed at this point, but the policies themselves, do you support them?
Well, David, we support the policies that we've outlined, which is $19.2 billion worth of additional investment into aged care, supporting Australians with choice in terms of quality home care services as well as quality care in a residential care setting. Our policies are going to deliver mandated 200 minutes per day of time and care per resident with individuals, with staff, including 40 minutes per day with a registered nurse on average. So we've already acted very comprehensively on the Aged Care Royal Commission report.
What about this promise of a registered nurse on site 24/7? Rex Patrick has an amendment that's passed through the Senate just this week. Will the government back it when it goes back to the House?
David, again, this is a promise from the Labor Party without saying what it will cost.
Is that
how they'll get anybody to pay for it. What we've outlined already is our response, which includes guaranteed 40 minutes per day.
Okay, so that's a no? You won't back that?
No, David, we're not giving uncosted promises like the Labor Party. We've actually detailed all of our responses. We've provided the costings for our responses, and we've put them into the budget showing how it will be delivered while also lowering taxes for Australians. That's in stark contrast to what you heard from Anthony Albanese tonight, sweeping promises that seem to be responding to demands from the Health Services Union, but not a single word on what they would cost and not a single word on who or how they'll be paid for.
Do you know how much it would cost, for example, the pay rise that they're talking about for the aged care workers?
Well, David, if you look at what Anthony Albanese said tonight, he said that they supported a pay rise, but he didn't say how much. So once more, you've got sweeping promises there, not only in this case without saying how they'd be paid for, but not even being willing to say how much he was backing. So this really is just another instance where the Labor Party is making vague, generalised promises like they have in areas of childcare and other parts of public policy. But there's a real lack of detail, and that's because they don't have detailed plans for the future. They certainly don't have an economic plan for the future. And if you contrast this with the budget we handed down on Tuesday night, ours was a detailed plan to keep the economy strong, to keep jobs growing, to respond to cost of living pressures for Australians. The details that we outlined to help everyday Australians and to keep them in jobs and to keep their taxes lower are completely absent from Anthony Albanese's budget reply.
It's the Finance Minister, Simon Birmingham. Great to have your company. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, David.
Well, let's go back to our political reporter, Melissa Clark. Mel, we've heard from both sides of politics now, well, several times this week. How do you think they're both positioning themselves now for this election campaign?
Yeah, look, this is interesting. And look, ultimately, if we end up getting a debate about who's spending more and how quickly on aged care, I think that's a good outcome. But I think what we really have here is the Albanese approach, or Labor's approach to this election campaign, is to make some significant promises, like we've seen with aged care, but not to be seen to be too ambitious. There's certainly a concern not to repeat electoral mistakes, perhaps, of 2019, when too big an agenda ended up counting against the Labor Party. But I think also, crucially, what we've seen from Anthony Albanese, and what we will also hear from the government, as we heard a little bit of from Simon Birmingham as well, is very much directed at Anthony Albanese and Scott Morrison, the leadership contest. Mm. We saw Anthony Albanese in that budget reply really try and reinforce some negative impressions of the Prime Minister, talking about things such as criticism of handouts and wasted times, and also harking back to some of his less good efforts, shall we say, on the international stage. This, for example.
No vision for the future, just one-off handouts to get through an election with all the sincerity of a fake tan. I think Australians will see this for what it is. Actually, I don't think, I know.
So Anthony Albanese there harking back to the French president, Emmanuel Macron's criticism of Scott Morrison. And I think that's what we're going to see, as neither side wants to have too big a differentiation to some extent when it comes to a policy area. We are going to see very personal attacks as we get closer to that polling day.
Indeed. Another presidential-style campaign. Melissa Clark, thank you. Let's go now to our panel. I'm joined now by Casey Chambers, the Executive Director of Anglicare Australia, and Innes Willocks, the Chief Executive of the Australian Industry Group. I know it's not directly in your lane, Casey Chambers, but interested, well, in both your views on the aged care policy. Does Labor get it right here?
Well, it certainly is in our lane in a way. Anglicare Australia members do operate both in-home and residential care in every state and territory of Australia.
Oh, apologies. And,
no, it's fine. And yeah, look, I mean, the first point of difference there was even calling it a crisis. We've seen that the government has walked away from that word a few times. I think it is a difficult one to cost. We know that the main issue there is going to be wages. There's very little that we can do in operating these services, particularly the type that Anglicare services run, where we're operating aged care services for people who don't have a lot of money. There's very little we can do without more wages. And, of course, that's a very difficult one to cost. But what we just heard from the opposition leader there is a promise to back the Fair Work Case Commission and fund it. So that is quite a difference there. You know, the government have walked halfway there on some of those other issues, but certainly the wage case is a point of difference.
Mm-hmm. Innes Willocks, wages really at the heart of Labor's pitch, and including its aged care pitch. Do you think that the business community, including aged care, can afford major wage rises at this time? They do seem to be making big profits.
Well, David, we do have a range of members in the aged care and healthcare sector, so well across this, and have just run a case on the community care sector within the commission, and we're part of that commission. The big issue is, there are wide varieties within aged care in terms of the provision. So the big question is who would pay and how would it be paid? What would that mean for the sector as a whole in terms of facilities and provision of care? You can't just pluck money out of thin air. It has to come from somewhere. It has to be paid for. So this is something we'll work through in the commission. And there is really, there's two sides to a market, unfortunately. There's the buyers and the sellers, and you have to be able to match that up. And the question is, would a lot of providers in the sector be able to pay more, as well as do everything else that the Labor Party is seeking them to do? I think in a lot of what we heard tonight, it was very strong on sentiment, but perhaps weak on substance in terms of the detail of what would be done to bring all this to fruition. And obviously,
well, he did give a bit of a hint. He said that our loved ones suffer. The carers, mostly women, are underpaid and overworked. Some of the operators running these places are doing very well. He seems to be there pointing to the big profits of some of these aged care providers, doesn't he?
Some of them, as you said, you described it as some of them, David, but that's not all of them. So, and this is sector wide. So, yeah, we just have to work through the detail. I think, as Casey just said, you know, it's perhaps difficult to cost, but when you make a promise, you've got to show us where the money is coming from and who's paying. And, you know, it's undoubtedly a very important issue. There's no doubt about that. We all have parents. We all have loved ones in aged care. Mm. We want the best care we possibly can for them. But you have to balance, can it be afforded what is being promised? And that's what we'll have to work through as part of an election campaign.
Casey Chambers, what do you make of that balance as Innes Willox describes it? Does Labor get the needle in the right position here, particularly on wages, I suppose? The ACTU demanding a 5% rise in the minimum wage.
Yes, look, again, I can only say that it really does come down to wages. We see aged care worker after aged care worker who's paid what the award allows us to and what we're funded to pay them, who can no longer afford to live within cooee of where they work. And we see aged care workers who stay because they love it, but only can afford to stay if they're the second earner, income earner in that household. So, yeah, it really is. It is about determining what work is worth and what this care is worth.
Casey Chambers, we've only got, 30 seconds left.
Yep,
can you
sure.
give us in maybe 20 your final thoughts?
Look, the other thing that really lit me alight was a recognition of housing. On budget night, I sat here and said that there were a lot of quick buys. I think this was the opposite speech, very heavy on sentiment and tone. But difficult to cost things when, in fairness, the ALP has been out of government since 2013.
Innes Willox, 15 seconds.
Well, the unions are looking for a 5% wage increase. You take into account what the government gave, whether you call it a cash splash or not, it's 1.3% wage increase. Super guarantees another 0.5%.
I'm going to have to stop you there. We're out of time. Casey Chambers, Innes Willox, that's all we've got time for. Thanks for joining us on this wrap on ABC Radio.